Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. This is Apostle Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries. I am so excited today about the study of God's Word. I am extremely excited today and thanking and praising God for another opportunity to study His Word with you, you, and you, and you. You out in radio land, God bless each one of you. I thank God for you. I'm going to get ready to call our Bible study to order. I'm going to sing a hymn, read a scripture, and pray. Shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me, shine on me, shine on me. I wonder if the lighthouse will shine on me. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come on to me and rest, lie down thy weary one, thy head upon thy breast. Shine on me, shine on me. If the lighthouse will shine on me. Amen, amen, amen. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their souls fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, And he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of inhabitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfied the longing soul and filled the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness is in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and in iron, because they rebelled against the word of God and contend the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Amen, amen. I have just read you from Psalms 107, from the first verse down to the 15th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. Father God, we come today humbly before your throne of grace, Lord, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Lord, that we've committed against you, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, Father, if we've offended anyone in any kind of way, Lord, we ask your forgiveness right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We ask you today, Lord, to search our hearts, our minds, and our spirits. If there is anything in there, Father, that should not be, Lord, we ask you to remove it right now, Father. Burn it out of us, anything, Lord, that's in us that should not be there, Lord. We ask you to remove it right now today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We ask you on today to create in us, Lord, a clean heart now, and renewing us a right spirit and a sound mind, Lord. Father, we come right now, Lord, asking you to bind up the strong man right now, Father. Bind up the strong man, Lord, and every evil thing, Lord, every negative and evil way, Lord, anything that's not like you, Lord, I ask you to bind that stuff up, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Anything that try to attach itself to us, Lord, connect itself, that's not like you, Lord, we ask you to bind it and stop it, in the name of Jesus. Burn it out, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Father, we just come thanking and praising you today, magnifying your holy name more today. Oh, Lord, we just give you praise, huh? Glory to God. We magnify you, unbelievable, in the name of Jesus. Father, we lift you up right now, Lord. We lift you up, Lord, hallelujah. We lift you up today, Lord. Thank you now for our Bible study, Lord. We thank you right now for your word, Lord. We thank you when you say two or three are gathered together. There you are in the midst, in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to send your anointing. Send your anointing, Father. Send your anointing, Lord. I take control right now in the atmosphere, Lord. Change it right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, change the atmosphere, Lord, on this radio broadcast. In the name of Jesus, send your anointing, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you so much for it, Lord. We give you praise right now. Glory to God. We give you praise right now, Lord. Glory to God. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise for it tonight. In the name of Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you now, Lord. We thank you right now. Thank you for everyone on our radio broadcast. Thank you for everyone in radio land. In the name of Jesus, I'm asking you now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, in the shed blood of Yeshua. I'm a shield right now, Lord. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you now, hunger over, but I ask you now, Lord, to let me decrease. That's the Holy Ghost, the Holy One of Israel. The Holy Ghost will teach your people on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I ask all these blessings and all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, and thank God. Amen. Amen, amen. We just give reference to God, who is my life. And to everyone in their respective places, we give reverence to and honor to Apostle Deans in his absence. But everyone, hallelujah, in their respective places, we just thank and praise God on tonight for being back in the midst of the Word of God on today. We just give God glory and praise on this evening and thanking him for all things high and making all things possible this evening. We're still talking about the prophet. We're still talking about the prophet. And tonight we're going to be talking about the character or the characteristics of a prophet. See, the spirit of the prophet are subject to the prophet. And that's over here in 1 Corinthians 14 and 32. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Prophets are the same all over the world. Although prophets can be different, they tend to have the same characteristics. Every nation has prophets. Every city has them, prophets. Every region has prophets. They exist in every generation. So you are not alone. You are a part of a global company, a prophet, or a team, a prophet. The same things grieve them, stir them, give them joy, and cause them to weep. It's the same that caused us to weep. Prophets, fiercely loyal to God and love justice. Prophets have a fierce loyal to God. And a love for justice, just behavior or treatment of others, especially the poor and disadvantaged. There is nothing wrong with you if injustice and mistreatment of others grieves and anger you. This is the way you are made by God. Over in Isaiah 59:4 says, no one calls for justice, nor does anyone plead for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Proverbs 21:3. We must do justice and judgment because that's what God called us to. And I'm not talking about judging people, but I'm talking about just like I said, when you have the poor, you have compassion for the poor and disadvantaged. You know, you don't want to mistreat others. You know, it's like it bothers you, it angers you when people are being mistreated, and you know this. Prophets define the poor, needy, and fatherly. It is the nature of prophets to defend, the poor and needy. Prophets hate injustice and will defend those who are being treated unfairly. Now, I can't speak for everybody, but I know I can speak for the prophets. We don't want to see anyone being mistreated. Anyone being mistreated, we will come to their defense. Even when it doesn't seem like it just don't seem like they're being mistreated, but you kind of got an idea or you picking it up in the spirit or whatever God shows you, you know, it kind of angers you, and you will go to their defense. Over in Psalms 82:2-4 says, how long will ye judge unjustly and accept the persons of the wicked? Defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hands of the wicked. Because some people, and we can see and God shows us when people are being mistreated. It's been wrong. It's not been done right. That's why I guess I have the job that I have, because I don't want to see one senior hurt, whether they rich or poor, not mistreated. Righteousness can be translated as justice, fairness, and equity. I'm sorry. The prophets hate religion and sacrifice without justice and fairness. But let justice and fairness flow like a river that never runs dry. That's Amos chapter 5, verse 24. Then you will understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path. Proverbs 2:9. Justice was a major theme of the prophets. The prophets equated justice with righteousness. They put justice, they evaluated justice with righteousness. You cannot be unjust and righteousness at the same time. You cannot be unjust and righteousness at the same time. One of them got to go and give. The opposite word for justice, bias, favor, favoritism, one-sidedness, partiality, prejudice, and some more stuff. Prophets deals with injustice. The story of Naboth highlights how prophets deal with injustice. Jezebel took possession of Naboth's vineyard for Ahab by setting up false witnesses and having him killed. This is an example of the powerful taking advantage of the weak. God sent a word through Elijah to Ahab that the dogs would lick his blood in the place where they licked Naboth's blood. It's over in 1 Kings 21 chapter 21, verse 19 says, you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, have you killed and also taken possession? And you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where dogs lick the blood of Nabon's dogs will lick your own blood. God didn't play, and he still don't. He don't play. Another illustration of how prophets deal with injustice is found in the Bible where David took Bathsheba, Uriah's wife, and had Uriah killed, came to David and exposed this injustice. David had many flocks and herds, but took from Uriah the only lamb he had. This is another example of being the strong taking advantage of the weak. This was a grave injustice. Over in 2 Samuel. And God, but you know, God loved David because David was a man after God's own heart. But I don't care who you are, when you do wrong, you pay. It says the Lord sent David to send Nathan to David. Then Nathan told David, you are this man. Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, I anointed you as king over Israel, and I rescued you from the hand of Saul. I gave to you your master's house and your master's wives into your arms, and I gave to you the house of Israel and Judah. If this were too little, I would have continued to do for you much more. Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and you took his wife as a wife for yourself. You killed him with the sword of the Ammonite. Now the sword would never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. God don't play. He don't play. When you do wrong, wrong come right back at you. He don't play. And David was a man after God's own heart. God loved David so much. But when you do wrong, God loves us, but he chasing whom he loves. So you got to know that when something go down and you in the wrong with it, unjustly treatment of people or whatever, however, taking advantage of the weak or whatever, you got to pay. He put that man on the front line, took his wife, put him on the front line so they could kill him, and that's just what happened. Mm-mm. A prophet's voice will not be silent in the face of bigotry or prejudice or false pride, and will not compromise faithfulness for practical ends, no matter how noble, those ends may be. A truly prophetic voice is one that would sweep away all the trappings of religion and simply ask, what does God require? What does God require? And answer simply, do justice, love, mercy, walk humbly with God, or simply love God, love others. A prophetic voice is one that will settle for nothing less than holiness of heart and life as the result of faithful obedience to the voice of God. In a real sense, a prophetic voice, even today, is the voice of God. And so we can't walk any kind of way. We cannot talk any kind of way. We got to live a holy life. because there is no in between. It's either holiness or hell. There's no in between. You can go repent, but you got to turn away and live the right way, because you are God's prophetic voice. You are God's prophetic voice. We are God's prophetic voice today. And God will not settle for anything less than holiness of the heart. A life that result in a faithful obedience to the voice of God. That's what we have to do. That's it. It's either holiness, and I'm telling you, people think holiness is just you're so holy you can't touch the ground and all this kind of stuff. No. That's not what God is talking about. That's not what he's speaking about. We got to start living holy. We got to start living apart from stuff, the world. We in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not. We cannot, because people, when you say prophetic or prophetess, people are looking at you. They looking at you. You know, the enemy got them looking, first of all. The enemy. Then, other people, sometimes people just want to see how you live and how you do it. How you doing? But we got to know where we are in God, because he's depending on us. He's depending on us. God is depending on us to do the things we should be doing. Prophets will take a stand. Prophets will take a stand. They stand up against the workers of iniquity. When no one else will, we will. We'll do it. We're supposed to. We're supposed to. Prophets will answer the call and rise against evildoers. We have to do it, because God don't let anything. He lets us know before he does anything. And so we're in a high place with the Lord. We're in a high place. He talked to us before he talked to anybody else. He tells us before he tells anybody else. So we're in that place with God. We're different. We're not normal. We're different. We're made differently. We don't think like other people, everyone else. See, because God has given us the spirit of discernment. He's given us wisdom. God has given us wisdom to use when things come up, when you have to pray and for other people, when you have to give godly counsel. God has given us wisdom to do these things. We see things differently. And we don't all, you know, we don't always and people don't think so, but we don't always just say, you know, that's the way it is. We've always done it this way. No, we just different. God made us different. And that's nothing else to be said. He made us different. He gave us that's the spirit of discernment. He gave us divine wisdom and knowledge. And he gave us a different way about doing. We see what other folks don't see. Prophets see God's agenda of advancement and change. We desire new moves and new things. We have, and we desire often, we have a holy contentment. And some people call prophets agents. If this is you, all this stuff that I've just been saying, then you're not alone, because we're all just like that. They are prophets. We're the same everywhere in the nation. There are many just like you. You're not crazy, and you're not alone. Not at all. Over there, First King, when Elijah thought he was the only prophet left, verse chapter 19 says, I have preserved 7,000 men in Israel for myself, all of whose knees have not bowed to Baal and whose mouths have not kissed him. Those prophets. See, we're motivated by a different set of values than the average person. We're motivated differently because we're made differently. We have a love for God. We have a love for his people. We have a love for the church and the world. We will stand against anything that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. This love makes them protectors, defenders, deliverers, and intercessors. The love of God. That's what it makes us. The core message of a prophet is to love God and love one another. Prophets will deal with anything that keeps us from loving God and from loving one another. If we're not motivated by love, then we couldn't call ourselves a prophet. If we don't have compassion for people, then we can't say that we're prophets, because we gotta love in spite of, if somebody don't like us, we gotta love them anyway. Anyway, we gotta do the things that God has called us to do. Love God and love one another. That's it right there. Jesus said over in Matthew 22:37, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and great commandment. He didn't say greatest, great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, Most of my neighbors probably don't like me because I pray all the time, and they hear it. It's not on me. It's on God. I don't really care if they like me or not, but they can't stop me from loving them. I pray for them all the time, whether they like to hear it or not. I still pray for them. Sometimes prophets are portrayed as only being harsh and mean, but prophets are merciful. Prophets are uncompromising, but there is room for mercy and redemption in their messages. Prophets represent the heart of God, and God is merciful. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed. His compassion do not fail. We are merciful because we love hard, and we are faithful. We are loyal. You know, we're different because we see things differently, and we weigh things out. We turn on that discernment, and we start trying to weigh and balance things in the spirit realm. Well, what if this happened, Lord? But we know we got to love them whether they love us or not. We know we got to do this. We in the world, but we're not of the world. We got to love them whether they love themselves or not. You know, we got to give them the word. That's how you give it to us. We can't add anything to it, or we cannot take anything away. Prophets. Prophets can see the beginning and where a thing is going. They can see potential when others see smallness. You know, that's why the word of the Lord say don't despise small beginnings, because you don't know where you're going. Don't know, you know where you're at, but you don't know where you're going. But God will show the prophet. Over in Zechariah chapter 4, he says, "For who has despised the day of small things? These seven will rejoice and see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are the eyes of the Lord, which survey to and fro throughout the earth." Because the eyes of the Lord is looking to and fro. Prophets are seers. My husband, Apostle Dean, is a seer. Prophets see what is hidden from most. They discern when things are not right and out of order. They often wonder why everyone does not see it. They often think, am I crazy? Am I really seeing this? Prophets hate spiritual blindness. They are grieved when leaders and believers cannot see what is so obvious to them. Some people see what they want to see, and some don't see what they don't want to see. But the prophets can't help but to see. Just like I think it was the other day, I was tired, and I always tell you all when I'm tired, the Holy Spirit takes over my mind. And I had been doing some fasting and praying. But my husband, I came home and the lights had been off. But our generator kept the freezer, refrigerator, some of the more essential things on. But my stove wasn't on, so I had put some potatoes in the skillet. I was finna make some smothered potatoes. And I turned the eye on, and the stove was off. So I just told him, I said, we'll go have dinner. I mean, breakfast. And he said, yeah, let's go. So we went to have breakfast, and when we got there, he said, I want to take you somewhere. I said, where? Because I'm sleepy now. He said, I want to take you to Greektown. I said, take me to Greektown? I said, I'm tired. He said, we're still going. And so he took me to Greektown. He took me other places, you know, some other places. But I was just so tired. So on the way back, I was riding. And I tell you, I guess I don't know where I went to, in a trance, or I know my head dropped. I know that. And I didn't know what went on. It was like I was in a vision, I guess I'd say that. But it's sometimes, you know, my eyes was closed. So I wasn't in a trance. I was in a vision. And I tell you what, whoever I was talking to, I answered out loud. And he was like, what? And so I started laughing. I said, oh, that was just nothing. I was talking out loud. But I was talking to whoever was talking to me. See, we, as prophets, and I know I'm a seer because I was seeing things anyway, but I, whatever it is, like my apostle, sometimes he'll sit up, he'll have his eyes closed, and he'll be moving his hands like he's doing stuff. So that's how a seer is. They move around in whatever vision it is that God have you. And before, maybe 10 minutes later, we was on our way home, it happened again. I just went into a vision, and I was talking. And I said, Lord, and I just bust out and start laughing. I said, who am I talking to? You're talking to me. And I'm speaking out loud. Because people will think we're crazy. They would think we're crazy. And we're not. But this is why you have to pay so much attention of God. He usually take over my head when I get so tired from work until I just can't, I don't understand. But he'll just take right over my mind, and it's all right because I want him to. But as a seer, these are the kind of things that happen because you see what other people. Now, I think it's a seer can be a prophet. Prophet can be a seer. To me, it's all the same, but seers, they can see. Like my husband used to tell me a lot of times when he worked out of town, or he would say, if I can't see myself there, I won't go. I used to wonder, why is he study sin, and what does that mean? If he can't see himself there, he won't go. So every time he would see it, and one day I just said, what do you mean? And he kind of explained to me, if God don't show me, if he see himself there doing the work, he won't go. And so one night, he's laying across the bed, and, you know, anytime we're laying together, God had let me see some of the stuff he sees. And so I could see, I closed my eyes and I could see, I'm looking down at us in the kitchen. That's when the Lord say, told me I was a seer as well. And I said, honey, I said, I'm looking at us. He said, are you up or are you down? I said, I'm up. I'm like, what the world going on? But he was showing me. He was showing me stuff. He was showing me. And I thank and praise God that he did. The Lord that he did. Because some people don't ever get that experience. They don't ever get that experience. But I thank God that he showed me. But what it is, it's like, It's a learning thing, a learning process. God will take you through it. He'll take you through it now when he wants you to know just what it is, he'll take you right through. That kind of blew my mind, but I have been seeing stuff, not knowing what it means, just seeing it, not knowing what it means. And when God got ready to tell me what it is, he will show me what it is. But then I saw that again. I was sitting at my kitchen table. I saw some stuff, but it's only God that takes us to that kind of realm in the spirit, especially when he's ready for us to see things. Now, when I was in St. Louis, Missouri, Prophetess Sherrod told me that God had been, he said, don't people always say they know who you are, they know you from somewhere? I said, yeah. And that's because, she said, that's because they do, because he said God was going to store it. He had been taking my spirit man different places, but she said, you're going to be one place and your spirit going to be another. He said, I could see you praying for babies in the spirit and doing, God is going to do miracles through you. And I know it's true. I know it's true because I travel in my spirit a lot, and I didn't know what was going on. But now I do. I know even the more. And I thank and praise God because I want you all to know these experiences. I want you all to experience these things. You need to experience these things, you know, especially traveling in the spirit, not what they call astral projection. We didn't talk about that. We're talking about traveling, God taking you, sending your spirit man different places to do work for him. I've experienced that so many times. I didn't know where I was. I remember getting hit in my face with branches. I know that before leaves, that's what it was. And I was saying, what is this? Where am I? You know, but then it looked like I went right back into a deep sleep. All of this I experienced in my life. And believe me, you all are going to have to experience a lot of things as well, because God is getting us ready. God wants us to be encouraged as prophets. There are many seeing the same thing you're seeing. There are many praying about the same thing. You are not crazy, and you're not alone. See, we see things from heaven's perspective. Prophets say to us, come up higher, because we see things from heaven's perspective. Over in Revelation chapter 4 and 1 says, after this I looked, and there was an open door in heaven, and the first voice I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Know what God is thinking, and they speak what God is thinking. And that's why I tell us, don't ever add or take away what God is saying. If God say hi, that's all you say, whatever you hear. You can't speak and say what you think. But you speak what God says. If he says sword or one or two, whatever it is, that's all you say, because it may not mean what you think, or you may not understand it, but it's not for you to always. You just say it, and that's all I do is say. I mean, a lot of times I don't know what I'm saying, and I'm glad I don't know. I'm glad the Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit takes over, because it's not my business. But it's God's business, and it's God's word and gift. I'm hearing some stuff in the background here. Hello? I don't want to hear nothing in the background. Hello? I'm hearing something in the background. Can everybody put their phone on mute, please? Thank you. If somebody still haven't put their phone on mute, I can hear. Okay. Prophets know what God is thinking, and you're supposed to speak what God is thinking. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. Prophets think differently. Hello, who is this? Please don't disturb me. Yeah. Father, I ask you now to bind up the strong man now in the name of Jesus. Bind up the strong man, Father, in the name of Jesus. Bind up the strong man, Father, in the name of Jesus. God is thinking. God's thoughts are not man's thoughts. Prophets think differently. Prophets are not limited to the way that man think. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 9, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Israel knew the act of God, but Moses knew his ways. Do everybody else hear this? Do you all hear this noise on this phone? Or is
Amen.
It just me?
I hear it.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
I can't hear it. I'm not sure what it is, but I can't hear it. I got my phone on mute.
Static.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I can't hear it.
I don't
what
hear
is
it now. It sounds
no,
like
either.
Static or something. I don't hear it now.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Amen. Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his ways. He made known his ways of righteousness and justice to Moses, his acts of the people of Israel. It is not enough to know the act of God. We must also know his ways. We have to know God's ways because he expects us to live in such a way. We are to wait on the Lord. They have an expectation of what the Lord will do. They wait for him to act. They wait for him to judge. They wait for him to reveal himself. They wait for him to fulfill his word. Prophets wait on the Lord. In Psalms 130:6 says, my soul waits for the Lord more than watchmen for the morning, more than watchmen for the morning. That's Psalms 130:6. And Isaiah chapter 8 and 17 says, I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob. I will eagerly look for him. We have to wait until God say move. We have to wait before God say anything. Or if we waiting for an answer, are we waiting for anything? We just have to wait until the Lord direct our path. We can't go before him. We can't move before him, or we can't get too far behind him. But we have to wait on the Lord. He'll renew our strength. We got to wait on him. I mean, we all as prophets have went through so many things. and we're all still going through a whole lot of things, a whole lot of things. So, you know, we gotta stay before God, because believe me, like I said before, the enemy know the time is short. So he has opened up the gate, and he has sent more demons, more fierce than they ever been. When I tell you, yes, more fierce than they ever been. And we got to show enough be in the Lord, so one won't get us and fool us, won't trap us or catch us off guard. We're watchmen. We're prophets. We got to watch this thing and pray at every sign of evil. We have to pray. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon his name. While, you know, we got to lay out before God, we got to fast, pray, and study the word of God, because I'm telling you, there is the trick of the enemy, which are distractions, try to throw us off focus. The devil is a liar in Jesus' name. The devil is a liar. Hallelujah. And we're going to try to stay even more focused now, because we can see things that the enemy is trying to throw at us. God give us discernment. He give us discernment, and we got to know that the devil is a liar. The devil is a liar. He's a thief. He come to steal, kill, and destroy. And we're not going for that. Not at all. Mm-mm. So I want to encourage each one of you, stay focused on what God has called you to do. Drown out all else. Stay focused on the kingdom and on the things of God. He is calling for us as prophets to do that. We got to do it. So I'm not going to hold any longer. And I thank and praise God for all of you that's on our radio broadcast, and you in Radio Land, I thank and praise God that you're here. I thank and praise God for you. I'm going to get ready to dismiss, and I want us to keep each other in prayer. We have to keep each other in prayer, because I'm telling you, the enemy is out here to kill, to steal, and to destroy. That's what he's out here for. And we got to stay prayerful in everything we do and say. Father, we come now just thanking you for your holy word, Lord. Thank you for opening up our understanding about prophets. Thank you, Lord, for the word, Lord. We just thank you on tonight for opening up our minds, Lord, our spirit minds. Every spirit have a mind, Father. We thank you for opening that up. We thank you, Lord, for just being in the midst of us. We thank you for the anointing, hallelujah. We thank you for the glory cloud, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for taking over and taking control over the Bible study, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We thank you right now, Father, for everything, Lord. We ask you to bless each one of on our radio broadcast and in Radio Land that's under the sound of my voice. I ask you to cover each one of them and their families in the shed blood of Jesus, and encamp your angels, Father, all around about them to protect them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, Lord, you know we love you, Father. We love you today, and we give you praise and we give you glory. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, I say you, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen, amen. And thank God, I love you all, amen. Each one of you. If you need to call me or talk or you have some questions, God bless you all. I'm here. And just stay encouraged. I just feel like you need to be encouraged. Stay encouraged in the Lord. Amen, amen. You all are dismissed. God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.